Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. It is what you would call football season. Once again, brought in the heavy hitters. But let me first say, looking at this crew in front of me, picture yourself, if you will. It's 1995, and this crew walks into Lupo's or the Strand on a Saturday night. Bad things. Bad things. Even with young Brad with us, bad things will happen. I'm just saying.
I do believe. And I gotta keep this clean, but I do believe that there are two people here that had an incident in a car on the way to Lupo's.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If you've ever seen a police horse punched at late night at about 1 in the morning, you know it's a good night. So we've gone from going out on a Saturday night to meeting at the same time we usually would go out to do this. So it kind of come full circle. If you think of the spectrum of the whole thing, took us a couple of years to get there, but you know, here we go. It's like going out virtually to Providence. same jokes, just gotta clean them up. Just gotta clean them up. Kid show. So
I will say this with Shaggy and Ryan, hey, at least we can keep the handle of Captain and the bottle of Coca-Cola. We don't have to put it with the seatbelt on anymore.
That is true. That is true. And you can't start any fights.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
You can we'll have to save that with the hammer here and with Dennis here, because then we can really bring up some stories.
Oh, we can bring up some fights with Dennis here.
we can definitely bring up some fights. I think if I recall, we were good for probably one a month. What do you think? Maybe one out of four.
Yeah, I'd say one every couple of years.
That's a Catholic kid in you coming out, Ed. Come on now.
Yep. Hey, man. You know?
I'm 1-0 against the trash can. That's all I got to say.
Fantastic. That story is going to be saved for when we have the right people with the crew, because looking back on it, I'm sure Dennis is, we'll see how his memory banks are for recalling that night, because unlike when Scotty corrected me, I remember that night very vividly. Very, very stressful evening for yours truly, let me just say. So, Ed, let's get right into it. Let's start with some emails.
Well, here we go. So we have a brand new sponsor. Guess what the sponsor is? It's us. Can you believe it? You know, unfortunately, we couldn't make a connection with the sponsor that normally sponsored this. They will remain nameless moving forward. They were good to us at first and just couldn't make the connection. You know, I guess being an RA, it's a little difficult to, you know, carve out 30 minutes of time, I guess, because it's such a stressful job. Anywho, I digress. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whatever you're a fan of the show or just love the retro feel, we got something for everybody. All right, so here we go. So check out the bonfire.com.
And Brad's shirt. Check out Brad's shirt.
Yeah, look at that.
That's my favorite shirt. It's in person. Constant rotation.
Yeah. So 1973 Podcast T-Shirt Store on YouTube. Just click the link in our episodes. All right. So moving on. This one is from Jen from Dartmouth. Jen from Dartmouth, Massachusetts. All right. Time for the podcast. Hey, 1973. Found this channel through Facebook. Wanted to know how you find the time. Some coaches and volunteers. Here is the time for the channel. All right. Kick it to you guys first.
Start with the Phantom. Talk about making time for the podcast with a busy schedule now that it's not so busy.
It helps when there ain't no kids at the house.
Then you don't have to wear pants.
I mean, a lot of times.
Oh, shit.
A lot of times we usually do this late at night. So that's I'm sure that helps out everybody. But as your kids grow older, You will have more time, gentlemen, so enjoy it while you got it.
Professor, for being probably second in attendance for our podcast appearances, what do you have to say to that email?
Well, you know, I think we originally said that we started this to keep in touch with each other again, because as close as we are, Brad not included, because we hadn't met you at that point, me and Andy anyway, but you fit right in with the group. I think if you were up here back in the day, you would have fit right in. It was a way to keep in touch with each other, because as we get older, we kind of grow a little bit apart because your lives, kids, jobs, coaching, stuff like that. But this helps us make time for it. It's something that we want to do. Even if this podcast doesn't take off or do anything, at least at the very least, we're getting to see each other and getting to shoot the shit. And this is something, what we're taping is stuff we do if we're at a bar or something talking to one another. It's always talking sports or wrestling. So, I mean, we make time for friends.
Ed, what do you got? How do you make time for the podcast?
Oh, I just clear my schedule, you know? I mean, quite frankly, I mean, it's nice to see everybody on here. It was great to, you know, like, to piggyback on what Tom said. Like, we initially started this off to just kind of keep in touch. I remember coming back home, and I think Ryan and Tom and you all said, we haven't seen each other in like a year and a half. And I mean, for you guys, I mean, you guys are 15 minutes away from each other, you know? And so I thought it was a great way. I mean, granted, you know, you were living in 1936 Germany, I believe, at that time. You needed to have papers to move around freely, I guess. But, with Bradford and I, we kind of lived in the, we had some rights that weren't taken away from us. But it's glad to have Shaggy on. It's great to see him again on a regular basis. And just make time. It's an hour of my time, and I'm happy to do it.
Bradford, I'm coming to you for a guy that jumped in maybe a calendar year ago, on and off in the beginning, to being a regular, bringing some great quality material to the show, good banter, good everything. How do you make time for doing this?
How do we make time? We don't. We are starting fall baseball and soccer. I don't know why we signed up for two sports in the fall, but we did. On top of family time, you know, luckily I have a 9-to-5. So when I'm off of work, like, I'm done. But you know, Andy has kids that are active. Everybody's got something, and like, we don't find time. Like, that's the kicker. Like, Andy, we have a group text, and that is like, hey, who's available Friday? And if it's more than a couple of people, then we're like, all right, who's available Saturday? And if we can't do it, then they're like, well, who's available Sunday? Like, that, it's got to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, pick one. And then we make it happen, man. And it's, I don't, you know, if some of us have shit, then we'll take a week off because tournaments or travel or something else. And then you just pick back up, you know, the next week. And, you know, everybody's flexible. So, but how do we find time? I thought, like, shit, I don't know. it just happens.
So if you look at this backdrop in back of me, this is a very expensive backdrop. I will say that. The money that I've spent just on this backdrop alone, and there's some that I cannot fit in this screen, it is just a matter of perseverance, desire. I've had a few people that I know that have, you know, said to me, why do you do it? And I've said multiple times why I do it. But it's the will to keep everybody together. It's almost like, if going back to Providence stories, I was always the one that drove because I wanted the night to be okay. And I'm driving this podcast for the same reason, metaphorically, that I did being the driver going back and forth to when we went out. It's a matter of keeping everybody together, keeping it going, and just having something as a carbon footprint for the kids to look back on. And I never had any interactions with my grandfather, so maybe someday they'll look back and get a laugh and say, hey, these guys are pretty funny, or these guys had a personality, and everything will be so woke by then that we'll look like, you know, Richard Pryor and Don Rickles by then. So the desire to keep everybody together for an hour a week is kind of what, you know, the mission statement is. Mm. And that find time, I mean, if you can't find time, like Ed said, talking about a subject that we had during the week set up, if you can't find time for half an hour or an hour and kind of make it work within the 3 days. I mean, I know Chris has got cookouts and things like that, but let's, you know, we'll try to get the nucleus together every week and do something and kind of go from there. So it's a desire to, you know, keep everybody together and do something constructive with it. And hopefully if it takes off, so be it. If it doesn't, we get together every week like we used to and have at it. So great email, local email. Got to mention that, Ed. So don't be cheap and go buy a freaking shirt. So that's going to be a new shirt. Buy a shirt on a shirt. So let's get into it. There is a death in the wrestling community this week, and I want to kick this one off to the Phantom. Sid Vicious. Hall of Famer or not a Hall of Famer? Before Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. Finish up. I was gonna finish by saying he was on Twitter a couple months ago saying that with Vince McMahon gone, it'd be great to get him in the Hall of Fame. And he didn't say why at the time. But now you know why. And I told these guys last week that it's kind of my problem with the Hall of Fame is putting the guys in after they pass. It doesn't have the same punch that it has when they're alive. You know, I brought up two guys, and it was Curt Hennig after he passed away and Rick Rude after he passed away. Two guys that you really would have liked to have seen on that stage give a speech, and it's kind of after the fact. So I'm going to kick it to you because I know you're very particular about your Hall of Famers. Take it away. Sid Vicious, Hall of Famer.
I would say absolutely he's a Hall of Famer. He had the world title, both major, you know, both major companies, and, you know, he was like one of those guys that, like, back in the day when he first came out, was like a heel that all of a sudden all the fans were like, not that he was their favorite, but he had his little moment there when he first showed up that it was like everybody loved Sid. Back before, you know, when everybody wasn't doing a power bomb and everybody wasn't doing a choke slam, he kind of like set the tone with that a bit too. And I you know, I think even when he first went to WWF at the time, I think they kind of brought him in to take the place of Hogan at first, and, you know, for whatever reason it kind of didn't work out, but he definitely one of my favorites for the time when he was there. Then, you know, kind of later on, he got a little bit stale, but I think that's more with how they used him. But his time with the Horsemen, awesome. Definitely should be a Hall of Famer. No doubt about it.
I'm going to kick it to Shaggy because we haven't heard from him yet. Shaggy said Vicious, Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. I agree. He was such a presence when he was in the ring. Like, he's so massive. I mean, I don't think one broken leg keeps you out of the Hall of Fame.
That's a great clip. If you go back and watch, that was probably the end of the career in a lot of different ways. Yeah. But I'm gonna ask both you guys. I want to ask the Phantom first. Are you Sid Vicious or Sid Justice?
Oh, fuck off, Sid Vicious.
All the way.
Lord Humongous, come on. All the way.
Even with a hockey mask, I'm not voting for that, Thomas.
Yeah, love Humongous.
All right, I'm going to go to Bradford, the youngster of the crew, Sid Vicious Hall of Famer, or Sid Justice Hall of Famer.
Well, based off the WWE's track record of there being no standard for the Hall of Fame, yes, he is a Hall of Famer. Did he wrestle? Was he a dominant force? Yes. Does that Hall of Fame caliber for, and he passed away. So yeah, they should induct him. Now, as far as, you know, satire aside, do I think put him in, right? He's a guy I remember as a kid that, you know, even though he was on TV, he terrified me. I was like, Sid Vicious was the most that I can remember from my generation growing up was he was just so brutal, literally so vicious that I'll anytime like somebody wrestled him, I was like, he's gonna kill him. Like they're not walking out of this ring. Like, and you know, and as a kid, that's what you think. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but I'm with you, Andy. Like it should have happened before. I think he kind of lowered himself to like, you know, put it out there on Twitter like that. Like, don't cave to that, man. Like he should have did that like a private message to Triple H, you know, like my people get with your people type of thing, but it is what it is. He was one of the baddest MFers that I can remember. So like sign him up, man, put him in the Hall of Fame, whatever. He definitely has a highlight reel. Like they're not without, you know, some great matches, some highlights and stuff to show of him. So, I mean, if some of these other wackos can get in there, I mean, put Sid Vicious in, man. So he deserves it.
Professor Sid Vicious, Hall of Famer, or Sid Justice, Hall of Famer.
Without a doubt, he belongs to be there. And I think if he didn't have the incident with Arn Anderson over in Germany, where he almost killed Arn with a pair of scissors and stabbed him, I think 22 times, and he actually got stabbed, I think, 6 times, and it literally to the point where Too Cold Scorpio, they're crediting him with saving Arn's life. I think he would have been in before this, but I don't know with the PC and PG way the WWE has gone lately. I don't know if that's one of the reasons why he hasn't gotten in or not, but certainly didn't help. But it's sad that an incident like that and the incident where he broke his leg in that 4-way match with Steiner and I think it was Jarrett and Animal. Those are the things you really remember about him. I mean, you don't really remember a lot about he actually did in the ring, which he did some good things. I mean, he was a 2-time WCW champ, 2-time WWF champ, and 2-time USWA champ. So he's held some of the heavy, big gold in the business.
Let me ask the mouth of the South, Sid Vicious, Sid Justice in.
No. And here's why. He was always in and out, right? He didn't live the gimmick. He didn't. He was always off playing softball.
He was playing softball. I heard about that.
He's always playing softball. Now, don't get me wrong. Did he get a good pop? Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. But the thing about it was, is that, you know, I mean, the man, the myth, the legend himself, longest ride, oldest ride. I mean, he lived the gimmick. I mean, Hogan lived his gimmick, right? And that's the thing about it was that he was always there. But, I mean, do I think he was a great talent? Yes, I do. Absolutely. Did he have great, like, charisma in the ring? For sure. Was he very good on the mic? No, I don't think so. I don't think he was very good on the mic. You know? I mean, I'd have to say no.
Do you remember that we saw Sid at the Fall River Armory with ECW? We did.
I don't remember that.
We did.
I can't recall.
When he had the jeans on, when he came back and he had the jeans and he was with Judge, what's his name there? The kid that was his manager there. I forget, but. Anyways, I'm gonna jump on the bandwagon of Sid should be in the Hall of Fame just because the measuring stick is so low. It's like you can literally step over that measuring stick. It's not like a limbo stick. This thing is like so low now. I mean, every year they gotta have the same set of diversity going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, that lowers the bar right there with some of the people that they've picked to go in just because they have to meet a quota. It's tough.
Is Coco B. Baron?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
The unpredictable Johnny Rods is in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. See the face? Wow. See the face? Wow. The guy was a career jobber. That his claim to fame is he trained the Dudleys. That's basically it. So, I mean
somebody had on this panel had to say no.
I get it. Oh, I knew it was coming. That's why I started with the Phantom. He's the one that we have had debates for years about these guys that go in the Hall of Fame. We'll see. I mean, we'll be covering that on the back end. So it's the 100th episode when they start announcing next year. But there's another one, Vader, when he had his failing health. He was on, like, health watch for a little while there. And there were 2 years that they could have put him in and they didn't. And then the year they passed away, they put him in afterwards.
Well, that's why he's not talking either.
Yeah, it's terrible. So pay-per-view today, Bradford, real quick, Bash in Berlin. Thoughts on that? I saw the strap match. CM Punk won. I saw the Cody match. It was kind of, they kind of just gave you enough to have a overseas pay-per-view. So nothing epic was going to really happen. Just continuing the storyline. If you agree.
Yeah, nothing big happened. There was no big reveals. There was no big turns. We all wanted KO to turn heel. Didn't happen. Wanted Randy Orton to turn heel. Didn't happen. The Cody Rhodes match was good, but just like the last four or five pay-per-views with him defending his title, great match with whoever, whatever living legend they throw in there with him. Minus that Logan Paul, that was fun, but yeah, that was weird. Great match with Cody as usual. Weird end, flat ending, abrupt ending. It's like they just end it real quick to get to the next thing. The Jade Cargill championship match was forgettable. I don't understand what they're doing with her. They teamed her with Bianca Belair. They win the tag titles immediately. They immediately lose them. They go on some weird circle of working their way back to win it again in Berlin. And there's like no pop. Nobody cares. It's just a weird, I don't know what's going on with that. The CM Punk match was very fun. That was very entertaining. Great match. You know, I figured out what they're doing with this bracelet. If they get us excited for this bracelet, and you know, it's not a championship match, it's not a title match. There's nothing. It's just for the bracelet. Think of how they're gonna push now the tribal chief. You know, the what do they call it? The suit, Falu Tulu, whatever red necklace thing. They get us excited for that necklace. This was just like a precursor. Like, man, the fans are biting on a bracelet. Now let's do the necklace for the tribal chief. I'm like, that makes sense. You know, getting excited on an inanimate object. That's not a title. The Randy Orton match was very fun. Again, I think we all wanted to see like a big heel turn with somebody. Gunther is definitely the future of the franchise. The Terror Twins, I'm so over Judgment Day, fighting Judgment Day. I don't know how much longer we have to put up with this. I love Judgment Day when they were together. Now they're split. And Judgment Day as a faction is getting beat. Like, they're not feuding with anybody else other than with the Terror Twins, two people, and they're whooping that ass every week. So it makes your faction look kind of senseless, pointless. You can't even beat two people. But also, while they're tied up with that, Damian Priest can't challenge for a title, and Rhea Ripley can't challenge for a title. So, like, what are, I don't know.
The bisexual,
a lot of questions, man. What's that?
Damian Priest, the bisexual Undertaker.
Yeah, it's the auntie that shows up at Thanksgiving, and everybody just accepts it, and you know, the purple hair and the eyeliner, but I don't know where they're going with this, man. So we'll see. See what happens next.
Real quick on the pay-per-view.
Oh, I had a fantasy draft today, so I didn't roll in until the main event. That was pretty decent. The thing that I know he came back all juiced up, but freaking Orton's huge. Like, Gunther's a big motherfucker, and I think Randy Orton's freaking bigger than him.
I think he's like 285 now.
They announced it.
He is.
It's huge.
He's a big boy. But you know what's funny? It's like whenever they have all these funky finishes and stuff like that, yeah, everybody always gets pissed. Like, nobody can ever beat anybody clean. And then Gunther beats him clean. And when he loses, I'm like, oh, fuck. They fucking let him beat him clean. So it's like,
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on AEW because the pay-per-view was good. And there's
I have so much heartburn with that, Andy.
There's a takeover coming, and it's definitely WCW-esque. Moxley showed up this week for an interview.
Yeah.
New music. Told Tony Schiavone that it's not their company anymore. So keep your eyes on that. Could be big if they do something right with Shane McMahon. Like he bought the company or he's got interest in the company. Maybe they'll drop a subtle hint that Vince is behind the scenes, even though Vince isn't really involved. They could do a lot with that because MVP is available. Bobby Lashley is available. They should have held on to Ricochet for that. They could have brought in a crew, but just keep your eyes on AEW. It's definitely worth watching to see what that storyline in the Gaga's kind of gone. They've kind of gotten a little bit more serious. The matches have been a little better. Still going to push out the Jericho stuff and the Young Bucks stuff and get it back to how it was. So
I got one thing.
Yep.
They brought Sting back already. After such an emotional last match, like let the man retire in peace. It is too like a year from now or some random shit. Bring him in to like save Darby Allin. It's only been like 3 months. Like I just got over him retiring, and I'm like, what the fuck? He's back too soon, man. Now he has to go and retire for a second time.
Hashtag too soon.
Too soon. What are they doing over there, man?
Go ahead, Phantom. You want to add something quick before we go to shitty picks?
How cool would it have been where all this week where they've been pushing the Danny Bryan thing with that he was working without a contract and all that, that when he won the belt, as soon as he wins the belt, if all of a sudden Shane comes out and he like hands the belt to Shane like I don't have a contract and I'm your world champion and that was given. Title like to Shane.
That's why we should write the storylines. I'm telling you.
There is no wrestler that gets on my last nerve as much as Bryan Danielson does. There's something about that guy.
Do you think you could beat him?
Yeah.
Just saying. I just threw it out there. I know Brad's ready to cut a promo on the wrestling community. So
yeah, I'll shoot on him. You know, if I hated this in WWE. I hate the cornrows in AEW. There's some about him that just doesn't sit well. I don't know. I have no reason, no justification. I just don't like
the wife. Do you at least like the wife?
Who's he married to?
He's married to Nikki Bree Bella.
Yeah. Oh.
Win Magic. Mm,
yeah, I don't know. The right. Bella twins? Didn't one of them just get beat by her her husband?
Yeah, it was the other one.
It's the other one.
Okay. Yeah. It's the thinner one. The one without
which
the
one? Father. And yeah. One of them was married to John Cena, right?
The and father, not the son. John what? Cena Sr.
What?
What?
No. Like it's off.
Let's one of misinformation.
Somebody get us back on the rails, man.
That's why we're going to the professor. Professor, hit us with the shitty picks.
Before I do that, one wrestling thing. If they, what they could do with this whole thing with AEW is that a takeover, they could time this perfectly with the Vince McMahon documentary that's coming out on Netflix and play it off, even if it doesn't have anything to do with him, make it seem like it is and get more eyes on the product. But there, one other thing talking about takeovers, I don't know if anyone saw the Impact pay-per-view over the weekend, but JBL showed up and just came out at the end of the show and whispered something in Dolph Ziggler's ear and walked out. So they don't know what's going on with that or if it's just something with the how they've been exchanging talents or not. But I thought that was interesting.
You never know. So it's worth just keeping an eye on. So,
yep.
You got it? You ready to go?
Thomas? I'm ready.
Hit it.
All right. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything they brew is in-house, including their beers, their seltzers, their vodka sodas, and their hard iced teas. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All right, so this past week, I took Bobby Witt. He's doing a decent. I mean, I think the Phantom can attest to that.
This is a home run.
He's got 18 points going into tonight's game. He's got two games left, so he's going to probably end up with 25 points or so. So that's a good week in fantasy baseball. He's had two home runs going into tonight, two RBIs, four runs scored. But so that's for this week. this next week coming up, I'm going to go back to football. First week of football, I'm going football. And I'm going to go with quarterback Jordan Love against the Eagles. The Eagles secondary was terrible last year. Gave up 34 passing touchdowns. And with the exception of the kid they drafted in the first round this year from, I believe he's from Toledo, it's the same exact starting team. So I think Jordan Love is going to light him up in this first game. I think Philly might still win the game, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Jordan Love's going to light him up. So that's my pick.
All right. So before we get to the foosball, I want to mention, since Brad's back, we're going to talk a little bit of hockey because it's his favorite. And I want to mention the Johnny Gaudreau situation. I don't know if you guys have been watching it play out, but it's kind of tough to watch when you see some of the things. And I don't know if anybody saw the court appearance from the guy that actually hit the two brothers. Professor, you want to give your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's terrible. For those who don't know, he was in New Jersey with his brother. They were there for his sister's wedding the day after this incident. And he was riding his bike with his brother, and they got hit by a drunk driver, and they both died. Johnny was 31. His brother Matthew was 29. And the guy, the sad part is the wedding. I mean, I can't imagine the poor sister, how she's feeling right now. But the worst part to me was the guy that they arrested showed no remorse. In his court appearance, he was mad at the judge because the judge told him he would have to stay longer than the 72 hours that they normally stayed because of the holiday. He'd have to spend another 24 hours. And the guy got pissed off and was just a total idiot about the whole thing. Never mind the fact that you just killed two people. You admitted that you drank 5 or 6 beers. I mean, I don't know. It's just a terrible situation all around.
Ed, want to weigh in on the Johnny Gaudreau thing?
Oh, I do. This is going to be a long one. All right. Now, being a cyclist myself, look, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to bring it all together at the end. Look, I understand people get pissed off at cyclists because we ride on the road. We ride like we're a vehicle. Go around us. Look, we don't have a big metal cage around us to protect us. You got to go around us. Do some cyclists, they don't obey the rules of the road? Of course that they don't. And those are the ones that are getting that really make it bad for the rest of us. I also want, just to tie this in, also a good buddy of mine today, 6 years ago, got hit by a car, and the car was doing 55 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, funny story, there's some watches out there. It's called the Garmin. You actually can see by the data, when he actually got hit by the car, he skipped on the ground. So he got med flighted out and everything like that. He's okay and stuff like that. Look, there's over 1,000 cyclists killed a year. There's 130,000 cyclists that are injured every year. It's up 8% this year from last year. Now, to circle back into what happened, look, it's a terrible tragedy, okay? And the thing is, just like to have two brothers that are there to get killed by a drunk driver. Look, man, if you're drinking, don't get behind the wheel of a car. There's too many options now. Like, get a Lyft, get an Uber, call a cab. You know what I mean? Like, look, a lot of companies now, they have policies where you can turn in your receipts at the end on Monday, and they pay for it. No questions asked. There's no need for that. I mean, sleep on a couch. Sleep on the floor, that type of thing. And to see two brothers go down at a tragedy, you know, before their sister's wedding, it's horrible. And for the guy to act like an asshole, dude, it's wrong. And the bottom line is that your ass should sit in jail for a long time. Now, one last thing. Look, car versus human body. Look, it's just like when a shark attacks, right? If you use great whites as an example, look, they come up and they do a test bite. 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be very good for the human. It's the same thing in a human versus a car. So all in all, terrible tragedy. Nobody ever wants to see this. And to have like two brothers that were pillars in their community and actually just good guys, have that happen to, just terrible, you know? And the thing is, it's like the guy's not going to get, he's not going to get charged with murder because it's not. He's pretty much going to be in jail for 8 to 10 years. and then he's going to get out. That's how it's going to roll.
The story I read, there's a gentleman in front of the drunk driver who kind of, like you're saying, pulled over. He pulled over in the middle of the lane to give them room, and the asshole behind him didn't like what he was doing, so that's when he tried to pass him on the right and take out the riders.
There you go.
So hopefully, you know, they'll have some justice served on that. I'm sure there's more that's going to come out. Just hit you at the wrong time with different things, like going into training camp season. I'm sure that they were kind of involved with working out, you know, getting ready for the season. And like Tom had said before, the wedding and all that other stuff. Phantom, you want to weigh in quick on that one, or you want to move on?
Yeah, I mean, you guys pretty much touched on it all. It's definitely heartbreaking. I had heard about it the night before, and they were saying that, you know, that he was involved in an accident. They didn't really get into any details. And so, they kind of were saying that he had passed. And then it was like, oh, it was him and his brother. And then it was like, oh, the next day is going to be his sister's wedding. And then his brother, Matthew, I guess the wife's pregnant as well. So it's just a horrible, horrible story. There's no all for... I'm in a rush to get somewhere and nowhere fast. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous, really, to be honest. And I was actually watching a thing with was a podcast with Sean Monahan on it, and I guess he came up in Calgary with Johnny Hockey, and I guess he was just gonna like reunite with him with in Columbus because he just signed there, and you know it was like 2 days before he passed. He was on this podcast, and he had this He was saying how we enjoyed playing with them, and they're going to reunite, and blah blah blah. This, that, the other thing, and then 2 days later, the accident happened. So it's a big hit for the hockey community, their family. Obviously, they'll never get over it. Feel bad for his poor sister. I mean, I'm sure the wedding got pushed back or whatever. But whenever they reschedule for, it's her brother's not going to be in it, and it's probably going to be a stain for that date always.
Yeah. So. Bradford, I would ask you your opinion. I'm not sure if you saw it. I don't want to leave you out of the conversation. I think it's kind of just kind of a tragedy all the way around.
Yeah, that is one of the most heartbreaking stories I've ever heard. It's somebody who does ride bicycles. I don't ride the, I'm not a spandex queen. I don't put on the Lance Armstrong Tour de France. I don't do that, but I might be out kicking around the neighborhood, or I might ride down to the beach. Looking at getting a gravel bike. My brother rides frequently, like all over the place, and he's been hit 3 times. Once he was on a freaking on his bicycle on the sidewalk. People just gotta slow down, man. Like I've been almost clipped, almost ran off the road, and that's just me minding my own damn business, riding a single speed bicycle. I had a truck pull up to me, got his bumper all the way up to my tire. I was at a red light. Like Ed said, I travel like I'm like a car. So I obey traffic laws. If it's a red light, I stop at the red light. If I can get out of the way and somebody pull up and I do that. But when in that situation, I had nowhere to go. And I was thinking safety first. And this dude pulled up behind me, started honking. And I'm like, what are you doing, jabroni? Like some people, they get their license out of a Cracker Jack box or they drink and drive, man. And bicycling it's fun, dude. It's healthy. It's recreational. It's being on the open road, man. People just got to chill. I hate this for this family, man. And the way you guys talk, I don't know anything about hockey, but the way you guys talked about him, this guy, they seem like he's a pretty good, at least hockey player, but also there's a pretty good family guy. It's a pillar of the community, man. And it's heartbreaking, dude.
Yeah. Sucks. He won when he was in college, he won the Hobie Baker, which is the, best college hockey player in the country. So, it's like the Heisman for hockey players. So he was something.
Chad, you got a point on it? Chad, you got anything to say?
No, I think we got it covered. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, tragedy, man.
Yeah. Sad. Thomas, let's move on. It's that what you like to call the football season. It's time It's time for me to turn into Brad when we talk hockey. Let's go.
Before we start with week one, we did our Super Bowl picks last week, and we didn't get picks from two guys that are here tonight. So I want to get Super Bowl picks from the Phantom and from Brad. Brad, I'll start with you.
You know what I'm going to say, dog. Let's go. Cowboys, it's our year. Put it in writing. Print it. Send it to everybody you know. As far as the AFC, I want to say the Bills or maybe the Ravens, but I'm going to go with the Ravens. Going with Baltimore.
All right. Phantom.
Then they put me on a spot.
Shaggy, I forgot about you too. So you're after the Phantom.
Well, I'm definitely not picking the Maple Leafs of the NFL. I know that much.
I don't even get that reference. So the joke's on you, buddy.
I will go my Dallas Cowboys.
Let's go.
The Dallas Maple Leafs.
Revisit the picks later.
Dallas Maple Leafs.
All right. Shaggy.
Anybody but the Cowboys.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Get this man out of here.
I'm pretty new people on this. So we're like one man too many.
I'm going to say 49ers.
Of course.
Against two. Of course.
Who are they playing, Shaggy?
The Patriots.
No, they're not playing them. I'm realistic, unlike you Cowboys fans. I hate to say it, but maybe the Chiefs again. I don't want to see them at all.
Yep.
Who is the Phantom's pick? Cowboys and who?
I already forgot. Cowboys are winning, though, so it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter who shows up. We'll mop the floor. This is our year.
You got to mop the floor. So you got to clean up with the janitors.
This is our year. We're doing it. We got the oldest running back room in the NFL. And that means we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Thomas, you want to touch on the San Francisco 49ers situation there with the shooting?
Oh, yeah. Just a couple hours ago, their number one pick, wide receiver Ricky Pearsall from the Florida Gators, he got shot. He was in an attempted robbery, and he's got shot in the chest. He's in stable condition, so hopefully he's going to make it. But it's a bad spot. It was in San Francisco, I guess, when it happened.
Mm. See how that works, Brad? Now, when there's hockey news, you're supposed to say, hey, guys, how come you're not talking about this? Hey, guys, you're not. I'm not even in the football thing here. I'm just your host.
Where do I even get hockey news from?
It's called the interweb.
Like off the back of some maple syrup or something? Like, I don't even know where to get hockey news.
There you go. Just start.
I don't know a single Canadian. Who do I talk to about hockey?
You know, well, Scotty's in Canada, so when you see him, that's
close enough. Close enough.
Yeah. Just ask him. Say, next time I see you, where do I go?
Dual citizen.
First off, you got to ask him, who's your favorite team? And when they say the Bruins, then you know you want to go talk to somebody else.
That's true. That's true. That's good advice right there.
All right. So we'll get to week one of the games coming up this week. Not sure if we're going to do tape before the first week of the season, so we're going to do them tonight. Yeah. Game one.
Let's try to be 1 week ahead, Tom, like we used to do it.
Let me interrupt real quick. I'm psyched because I'm on a survival pool. In the past 2 or 3 years, I've been out in week one, so I can't wait for this. I need all the
So all we're picking is we're not going by a spread. We're just picking outright who wins.
Yep, perfect.
Yeah. All right, game one, Thursday night. The Kansas City Chiefs are at home against the Baltimore Ravens. Andy, I'm going to start with you.
Now, I wrote down some stuff here this year. So you said who? Chiefs and?
Chiefs versus Baltimore.
Let's see. I don't know. Chiefs versus Baltimore. I don't have that written down. Do I?
Flip a coin.
You were looking at the 2023 schedule.
Yeah, I probably was. Chiefs versus Baltimore. Chiefs, I guess.
All right. Phantom.
Baltimore.
All right. Ed.
I'm gonna go with the Kansas City Taylor Swifts.
Shaggy.
I'm going with the Brittany Mahomes.
All righty. Brad.
Yeah, I think Taylor Swift's going to say a spell or an incantation over the team. Chiefs.
Because she's a witch. I'm going with Baltimore. I just have a funny feeling about this game being the first game. KC is they don't have Marquise Brown for this game. I think they're not going to be running on all cylinders. I'll go with Baltimore in game one. I think Derrick Henry.
Ricky Williams.
Thomas?
Yeah. Derrick Henry is going to have a big game for Baltimore. Game two. It's a Friday night special from Brazil. The Philadelphia Eagles, Green Bay Packers. Andy.
Packers, because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
All right. Phantom.
The team in green, which I can't wait. I'll go Philly.
All right. Ed?
I'm going to go with the Packers. To piggyback on what you said before, Philly's defensive backs are shit. And then also they lost that outside linebacker that's held it up for the Jets and they traded away.
Yep. Good point. Shaggy?
I'm going with Packers because Eagles fans are almost as annoying as Cowboy fans.
That is true. You are correct.
Brad, I'm going to ask you, but I kind of know where you're going with this.
I hate the Eagles, man. This game's a toss-up. I think that Thursday night game's a toss-up as well. I actually think the Eagles are going to be better than Green Bay, though, this year.
Okay.
Didn't the Packers spank your team in the playoffs?
Packers absolutely annihilated the Cowboys in the playoffs, but that has no bearing on a Friday night game in Brazil.
That's true.
Which is weird as shit. I don't know why we're playing in Brazil. But
I was watching shit.
I think the Eagles are still going to win. So
after everything I said earlier with Green Bay's with Philly's defense being so bad poor in the secondary, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think Philly will outscore him. Jalen Hurts, I think having Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator now, I think he'll have a big season.
Did he coach the Cowboys at one time?
Kellen Moore, and he was a backup quarterback, but he was the absolutely worst ranked offensive coordinator in the NFL when he was with Dallas.
Just the personnel he had there, that's all.
Yeah, it was. He didn't have the right people. He sucked anyway.
All right, game three, Atlanta Falcons at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Andy,
terrible towel coming your way.
All right. Phantom?
I'll go Steelers.
All right. Ed?
I'm going to go with the Falcons.
All righty. Shaggy?
As a former owner of the Stars jacket, I'm going with the Dirty Birdies.
All righty. Brad?
I like Atlanta's chances this year, so I'm going to pick heavy on Atlanta.
I think Russell Wilson is absolutely horrible, so I'm going to go with Atlanta. I think they've got the nice offense set up right now. If Kirk Cousins can just stay up on his feet and not get knocked on his ass, I think Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson will have big years this year for them.
Oh, yeah. If the Falcons win, Shaggy has to come on and do his Dirty Bird dance again.
Okay.
All right. Next, the Buffalo Bills at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Andy?
Brian, could you please
doubling down, bro? I'm dying.
What the fuck just happened?
Wait a minute.
Oh, hey, quick on my feet.
Brad's gonna got a new conspiracy right there.
Did you just jump through a portal?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
He's in the multiverse.
Like fucking time bandits.
Wait, hold on. All right. So let me change the screen name here so we can keep it legit. All right.
Phantom.
What's this game?
Buffalo, Buffalo at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Andy.
I'll go Bills.
All right. Phantom.
Bills, and this time I can hear you.
Ed?
I'm going with Bills Mafia. Hopefully they can jump off of the top of a truck and onto a fiery table.
All righty. Shaggy?
I keep forgetting Arizona has a team, so I'll go with the Bills.
All righty.
And you live there, too.
Yeah, we ignored them then, too.
I think Shaggy's getting forgetful in his old age, but I will pick the Bills.
Yeah,
all day. Clean sweep.
I'm going with Buffalo as well in this game. Next game, Chicago Bears at home against the Tennessee Titans. Andy.
Yes.
All righty. Phantom.
Titans.
All right. Ed.
That's a pick 'em game, man. Both teams suck, but I'm going to go with the Bears.
All righty. Shaggy.
I say I know they stay every year, but I actually want to see the Bears' new offense. I'm going to go with Bears.
All right.
Seriously.
I'm going to pick the home team just because it could go either way.
Yep. Well, I got to go. They're more than likely going to lose, but I'm going to go Tennessee because, you know, I've got to stay true to my team. Hopefully Will Levis will have a big game. And hopefully I'll tie in Dallas. Hopefully Tony Pollard has a decent season for them.
DP, baby.
All right. Next game. Cincinnati Bengals at home against the New England Patriots. Andy.
Yankee Shuffle. One of my favorites.
All righty.
James Brooks.
Phantom.
Bengals.
All righty. Ed?
Well, right now, I'm going to have to go with the Bengals.
All righty.
Not the band. Not the band, Ed. I know you like Susanna Hoffs, but not the band.
Hey.
Shaggy?
Let's show the Cowboys fans how we do this. I love the Patriots, but I'm picking the Bengals.
I don't understand why that's a jab at the Cowboys, but I'm also realistic. Picking the Bengals. Huh?
We're realistic.
Oh, I'm realistic.
Yeah.
We're winning the Super Bowl. What's more realistic than that?
Manifestation.
Phantom, you look like you have something to say. Go ahead.
No, I'll keep it clean.
No, say it.
Say keep it clean for the children.
Say it.
I think the Patriots are probably going to be one of, if not the worst team, the second worst team in the league. I'm going with Cincinnati. Yeah. Next game, Indianapolis Colts at home against the Houston Texans. Andy.
Texans.
All righty. Ed?
I'm going to go with the Texans. The way that they played last year, they played really well. They could have the sophomore slump, but I don't think so.
Phantom?
Colts.
All righty. Shaggy.
I'm going to go with Colts.
All righty. Brad?
That is going to be a good game. Like, I'm actually excited to watch that one. I'm going to go with Texans, though.
Yep. I'm going with the Texans as well. I think it's going to be a really good game. It's a matter of if Anthony Richardson can stay healthy. I mean, the guy did well for, what, four games, but we'd see if he can stay on his feet and take a few less hits. But I think Houston, they have a good chance of being good, but they just got to keep Stephon Diggs in check. He's known to be a team killer with his attitude sometimes. So,
yeah, good point.
From cancer, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. All right, next game. Miami Dolphins at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Andy.
I will take Ricky Williams, your favorite running back, and the Miami Dolphins to block, please.
All righty. Phantom?
Miami.
All righty. Ed?
Even though I thought that was pretty classless of Tua to light up Brian Flores last week, I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
Okay. Shaggy?
I'll pick Dolphins also.
All righty. Brad?
Miami.
Yeah, I think it's a clean sweep. I actually think Miami's going to win the East this year. I think Buffalo's going to take a step back. All right. My next game, New Orleans Saints at home against the Carolina Panthers. Andy?
I will take Archie Manning and the Saints, please.
Alrighty. Phantom?
I'll go Saints as well.
Alrighty. Ed?
Well, I'm going to go with the Saints, even though this is probably going to be one of the few games that they actually win this year.
Alrighty. Shaggy?
Wasn't Carolina, like, god-awful last year, like one of the worst teams?
Yes, they were.
They were.
All right. Brad?
Yeah, both these teams suck, but I'm going to pick the Saints.
Yeah.
That's my expert analysis. They both suck.
I totally spot on. That's where I'm – because of what you said, that's who I'm going with. Clean sweep with the Saints. Next game, New York Giants at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Andy?
I will take teams that stink for 200, Alex. Who is the New York Giants?
All righty. Phantom?
I will go Vikings.
Yep. All right. Ed?
I'm going to go with the Vikings. I mean, you know, Giants just don't seem like they have any type of identity on offense at all.
Yep. Shaggy?
I'll say I'm going Vikings. Like Eddie said, their quarterback sucks ass in New York.
Yep. Brad?
Thank you for adding that. I appreciate that.
Were you guys watching what happened to the Vikings in the offseason?
No.
They have a literal curse. A wide receiver involved in a speeding DUI traffic accident. Another player died in a car wreck.
You're talking about Minnesota University of Georgia.
good point. But yeah, they had a rookie quarterback blow his knee out. I think their quarterback right now is Sam Darnold, maybe?
Yep.
You are correct, sir.
So anyway, much maligned and much affected, cursed team. But the Giants suck, but I'm still picking the Giants.
Was this the tinfoil?
We could do a tinfoil on the Minnesota Vikings offseason this year.
I don't know if when the Phantom went through that portal, we went right to the tinfoil hat.
Yeah. We already.
I want to hear about the boat trip.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with Minnesota. I think as bad as it could be with Darnold, I think they've just got too many weapons for the Giants. So I'm going to go with Minnesota. Next game, the Los Angeles Chargers at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. Andy.
Oh, boy. I don't like that term, Los Angeles Chargers and Las Vegas. It just doesn't mesh well with me. Not that I watch football or anything, but I'm going to go with the Los Angeles team for 200, Thomas. That's my buzzer.
All right. Phantom.
I'll go Harbaugh with the debut all win. Right.
Yep. Ed.
Man. That's a pick'em game too, but I'm going to go with the Raiders. I think that they have a better defense.
All righty, Shaggy.
I'm going to go with Harbaugh on the Chargers also.
All righty, Brad.
This is the Michigan man, huh?
Go blue, baby.
Go blue.
Until the Chargers do something to prove me wrong or otherwise, I'm going to pick almost at San Diego. the Chargers, wherever they're playing.
Just looking at the quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, and I think it's going to be Gardner Minshew. I believe it's going to be starting for the Raiders. I got to go with the Chargers. I think they just got a better overall offense right now. Next game, Seattle Seahawks at home against the Denver Broncos. Andy.
AFC West, right? It's still AFC West?
Yeah.
After all these years?
It is.
Yeah,
I'm going to go Seahawks.
Alrighty.
That's the NFC.
Yeah, Seahawks at NFC West.
Oh, see? Last time I watched, they were in the AFC.
It used to be. I remember those days.
Hey, it's like the old Norris division. What the hell's wrong with you?
What is going on?
Phantom.
We're following a pop. I will go Seahawks.
Alrighty. Ed?
I'm going to have to go against Sean Payton. Like him as a coach, but I think they're still a year away, so I'm going to go with Seahawks.
All righty. Shaggy.
I believe in Geno Smith. They're going Seahawks.
All righty. Brad?
I believe in Joe Hendry, but I'm picking the Seahawks as well.
All right.
I see what's happening. I pick, and then everybody steals my picks. That's why you have to go off.
Had a different reason. I'm going with Dennis because I'm a Bo Nix fan, but my second reason is because Andy picked the other team. So I'm going to the Broncos team. My next game. Hey, get ready, guys. Next game, Cleveland Browns
game of the week.
At home versus the Dallas Cowboys. Andy.
I am going to take Reggie White and the Dallas Cowboys because, like I said last year when Brad showed up, I'm here to make friends.
Oh, fuck. How does Reggie White equate into the equation?
Oh, Randy White. I'm sorry.
Get your Randys and your Reggies mixed up.
I'm going to ask. I already know where you're going with this.
I think Randy has never been called Reggie.
Phantom, I know who you're going with, but let me know. I need an official.
We will go with them boys.
All big right. Blue, them boys. The real big blue.
Eddie?
Oh, I'm going to. Well, I mean, you know, I don't think that the Browns are going to have any happy endings, so I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
All righty. Shaggy.
This is not the podcast you want to watch if you're looking for a happy ending.
I'm like, hey, Browns QB and ending, so I'm going to pick the Cowboys.
That a boy.
Yeah, you will.
I think this is going to be a closer game than it appears. I think Cleveland's defense will keep it close, but I think Dallas is going to win.
Jack was throwing for 450 yards, but
is CeeDee Lamb going to play?
Oh,
my question is CeeDee Lamb going to pull a hamstring on like the third play?
Nah, he's good. He bulked up like 20 pounds. Yeah. He's an athlete.
He's got no muscle to pull. He weighs 125 pounds.
Did he get his contract?
Yeah, he got his contract. Yes, he got paid. Play.
He has contract.
He's going to play.
Yeah, he'll pull his hamstring because he held out the whole training camp.
He's ready. He's ready.
All right, next game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home against the Washington Commanders. Andy.
Oh, God. Oh, man, that is rough. I'm going to go Tampon Bay on that one.
All right. Phantom?
I'll go Commanders.
You're going Commando.
Going Commando. So you can see my Redskins.
Thank you.
Ed?
I'm going to go with Buccaneers.
All righty. Shaggy?
Is there a third option for this shit show?
That's
I'm going to pick the Bucs, I guess.
You're not gonna surprise me and say this game is scheduled this week on Gilligan's Island, is it?
Brad.
Buccaneers.
All right. I believe in Jaden Daniels. I'm gonna go with Washington in this game.
Oof. Bold move.
All right.
Damn.
Next game, Detroit Lions at home against the Los Angeles Rams, and this is a Sunday night game.
There's two Los Angeles teams now.
Yes.
Just like back in the day.
Yes.
Wow. All right. I'll go with the Lions.
Chris Evers. Right.
Phantom.
Lions.
All righty. Ed.
I'm going to go with the Dan Campbells.
All righty. Shaggy.
Detroit.
All righty. Brad.
Yeah, I heard they spent the offseason practicing on how to fake a field goal, so they actually can nail it this year, so I'll pick Detroit.
Detroit's my Super Bowl pick this year, so I'm going with them. All right.
That's a final bold pick.
That's a
bold pick.
That's up there with the Cowboys.
I don't go chalk like you guys. I mean, let's have a repeat. Kansas City Chiefs versus the 49ers.
No, I said Cowboys versus the Ravens. That is a very realistic pick.
Thank you very much. Out on a limb as you could get.
The Bucks and the Commanders in the final, the NFC final.
There you go. Last game of the week, Monday night, the San Francisco 49ers versus the New York Jets. It's in San Francisco. Andy.
I'll take Liberace's favorite football team.
Jesus.
San Francisco 49ers.
All righty. Phantom.
49ers.
All righty. Ed?
Well, I mean, even though Fireman Ed is not going to be in the building, I'm still going to go with the 49ers.
All righty. Shaggy.
Yeah, Niners.
All righty. Brad?
Just on the intimidation factor alone of 49ers fans robbing and shooting NFL players, San Francisco has the advantage.
It's turning into like a Raiders game over there.
Yeah. When they played in Oakland.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the 49ers. The real question is, will Aaron Rodgers play one more than one down this season before tearing something? So we'll see. Forgetting
about him.
All right, AC, that's it. That's week one.
You see it?
All right. So,
by the way, I haven't gotten Chris's picks yet.
Hey, he's got to get them in this week, though, before the games. If he doesn't get him in before the games, null and void.
If you don't get your picks in, null and void, you get the all the underdogs.
That's true. Yeah, Tom does your picks for you, and you get all the teams that are in the minus, whatever that's called. Could be on.
There's a reason it's called Tom's Shitty Picks.
So we're going to segue into something that it's been a while since we've done it. Bradford. You ready to do a tinfoil hat? We've already.
You're ready. I'm ready.
We've time warped on this show. We've had cloning. We've had other stuff. Back to the Future with the Phantom. Thomas, do the lead in.
All righty. Brad's tinfoil hat is brought to you this week by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love, written by our own Andy Clark. It's available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed at the age of 21.
Whoa.
Take it away, Brad.
Can you turn on screen share real quick?
Yeah, you should have told me before we started. I know. It's like amateur hour.
I'm out of practice. But this segment which is about a book brought to you by a book. However, Andy's book was not a part of MK Ultra. So there's that. Let's turn on screen share. Want you guys to watch this clip from the movie Conspiracy Theory.
Turn the volume down. There we go.
I don't hear anything.
You guys can't hear it?
Read it.
No, you can't. You can't have it with the volume on because they'll red flag us for copyrights.
Oh, just read the subtitles.
Okay.
He's talking about a book. Every time he sees it, he has to buy it. Anybody have an idea?
TV Guide.
That is it. Bible. Absolutely. Conspiracy theory over. Have you ever read the book?
Catcher in the
Very
Rye.
Very popular in school.
Oh, Catcher in the Rye. Really? Yeah, I love that book.
The Catcher in the Rye. Yep. So Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson, they talk about the book. There's several scenes with it. So anyway.
Isn't that it right in the back corner over there anyway?
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right here. Yep. That's what my copy looks like. So I read the book originally. We could turn off screen share now. Let me how do I
just click out of it, Brad, and like you got into it.
I don't know how I got into it. Oh, wait. It's down here. It's not. I don't know where my menu went. What the? Oh, it's up at the top now. Jesus. Why does it keep doing that? There we go. We're back. So I read the book, Catcher in the Rye, because I heard some rumors from a podcast that it is actually like a code for the Freemasons. Like every aspect of Holden Caulfield's life was like a different level of Freemasonry. And like it loosely, it fits, but like you got to like bend some areas and stretch them and then kind of jam a square peg into a circle and then it works. What the Catcher in the Rye really is it's on a banned book watch list. It is one of the most banned books in the history of books because of its rebellious nature. But when you read it, it's just a kid who drops out of school, goes and parties in New York City, smokes some cigarettes, drinks some beer. Like, I don't understand what is so rebellious about that. I could see that back in the day when it was written. But for modern times to still be a banned book, it's kind of weird. And when you start thinking about it, it starts to make sense. J.D. Salinger left the country when the book was published because he didn't want to read the reviews. He burned all the fan mail. He was also allegedly dating a 16-year-old girl. So kind of weird. It's kind of a biopic of his own life because after World War II, he served in World War II, had some PTSD, spent a little time in a mental hospital. So why do we say that it is part of MK Ultra? Shaggy, that is a great question. I'm going to answer it for you.
Thank you.
This book has been found in the possession of a lot of wackos who went and tried to either were successful in killing their target or attempted. So Mark David Chapman, the guy that assassinated John Lennon in 1980, was found reading The Catcher in the Rye on the curb. He's just on the curb. Said it's one of his favorite books. John Hinckley Jr., who is also like a distant relative of Barack Obama, attempted to assassinate President Ronald Reagan in 1981, also reportedly possessed the book. Lee Harvey Oswald allegedly had a copy. This is where Andy is going to love it. In the movie The Shining, Shelley Duvall is reading The Catcher in the Rye in one of the opening scenes. And we haven't even gone down that rabbit hole of The Shining yet. But so more conspiracy, if, you know, if we could do an hour alone on this book and its ties to all these other cult symbols. So anyway, doing my research on AI, I also asked the AI being co-pilot to name some other controversial books with similar associations. And guess what came back? Top hit, The Anarchist Cookbook. Second hit, Mein Kampf. The third hit, American Psycho, which I'm reading now. And then the fourth hit, Helter Skelter. That's a pretty wacky list of books when I ask for more similar books to Catcher in the Rye. Because Catcher in the Rye is nothing like those books. So it just, you know, it kind of all these like lights, you know, went off, these red flags of why this book is banned and why it's an MK Ultra conspiracy theory. And MK Ultra, if you don't know, it's the CIA conspiracy theory that like they're mind controlling people. So that's another, that could be a whole episode by itself. Thoughts, fellas? Pretty good one, I think.
Jaggy, what do you think?
I'll say now you looked all those up, now you're getting red flagged by the government, so watch out.
Bro, I looked it up on a government computer.
Good man. Good man.
No, I heard that theory, though, about the Catcher in the Rye. I heard that where like, people would check it out. You checked out more than so many times. They're like, oh, now the government's flagging you and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I have heard that one. It's interesting, and I'm a believer with it. I mean, it's pretty weird.
Where do you – I'm going to ask Brad. Maybe it'll be a group thing. Where do you think – what is the conspiracy theory that blends the line of truth and is right on the cusp of legit and truth? Is it the JFK assassination, what everybody thinks? What conspiracy theory is out there that everybody knows the truth, but it's never been confirmed? What conspiracy theory do you think is the most everybody's on the same page with, but it's never been confirmed that's true? What do you think, Brad?
I don't think JFK, man. I think you'd have to be at this point in our lives, you would have to be completely out of touch with social media and media in general to think that there wasn't more to the JFK story. Donald Trump is literally trying to get elected to hire RFK Jr. to be in charge of the CIA to, you know, finally expose the truth. I think that's probably the one that people don't want to recognize as a truth. And MK Ultra, man, in Waco, Texas, like there's a lot of big things that went down there with that. So
Branch Davidian, man.
Yeah, man. A lot of issues with that, man, and how people don't want to acknowledge, you know, these facts that are right in front of them, man. Like it's at some point it's not conspiracy anymore. It's you just don't want to hear it.
isn't that the whole point though with the way that they work is they have to hide it right in plain sight, and then you have to second guess. Like, you know, I was having a conversation with a younger person, and if you look at the timeline that Brad and I have talked about multiple times about things that have gone on during history where things have reset itself, or little Rockefeller things that have happened with the school system and blah, 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 blah. One of the best ones about hiding things in plain sight, and people don't even realize it, is one of the oldest board games of all time, Monopoly. If you look at it, you go past go every time you go around the board. It's like your week's pay, $200 for pass and go. What's the system that it shows you right in plain sight? How do you create wealth in America? You buy property, you make people pay rent, you put a house on that property, which makes you more money. You put a hotel on that property, which makes you more money. It's one of the oldest board games. They hide how to get rich in America right in your face, but nobody follows it. Now, when you're playing that game, does it say buy a new t-shirt? Does it say buy new sneakers? Does it say buy a new TV? Does it say buy a new car? No. It's about creating wealth through owning property and collecting your $200 every week for going around the board, which is metaphorically your week's pay. So they've been telling you right from the jump how to get rich in America, and nobody can pay attention to what they've showed you for years. It's one of the oldest board games. There's so many versions of it, from pop culture to sports to everything under the sun. They've changed the board, but the premise of the game never changes. And it's been around since the Great Depression. Imagine that. It came out during the Great Depression, showing you in America how to get rich, but nobody puts two and two together because we're distracted from, you know, the old style. When you get home, they gave you radio to keep you in the loop with what they wanted to tell you for news. And they've done it. They still do it with social media. So just a matter of filtering all the BS out. And the search is out there, right? That's what the X-Files used to say. The truth is out there. So, Bradford, once again, great segment. Stuff that we could talk about for a while. And I think it's time to start wrapping up the podcast. It's been almost an hour and 20 minutes this week. Great hour and 20 minutes. I think it flew by. That's just me. I'm watching the ticker over here in the corner. So shout outs, and I'm going to start with Shaggy. New to the podcast, hopefully going to be on more often than not. So Shaggy, shout out this week.
Well, on the spot, I really don't have one, but I just want to thank you guys for having me on here and stuff, and maybe next time I have a shout out. I don't know.
Well, hopefully you'll be on during football season. We'll kind of bring you up to speed with how we do.
Sounds good.
Phantom, what do you got? Your time traveled this week.
I am gonna shout out Mr. Brownstone, True North, the professor, at 51 years old, going back to school. Super impressed. We're proud of you. I know it's that's a big step to take at our age to try something new, and we're with you, man. Go do what you gotta do.
Thanks, man.
All right, Thomas, you have the floor.
I want to give a shout out to my cousin Billy. He got engaged last weekend, took his now fiance on a trip that we've all made to Saco River up in Maine, and he ended up proposing to her up there. Congratulations, man.
Speaking of Saco River, I'm going to toss it to the man that shared a tent next to me, the mouth of the South with the dirty mouth.
I got a couple shout outs. First and foremost, I'd like to shout out to Brad. Brad, welcome back. Sorry about your dad, brother. It's always tough when you lose a parent. It's not easy at all, man. Like I said in the text, I'll say it to here, man. If you need something, holler at me, okay? A couple other things that are a little bit lighter. I'd like to reach out for my nephew Jeffrey. Happy birthday. Also, like to shout out to two of my triathlon friends. One of them is that today is actually his 6-year anniversary about getting hit by a car. and he lived to talk about it. And then my other friend, who was my training partner in crime for Ironman Louisville, she had to have her back done and had to have her hip done, and she is now out of sports. So, Peggy, it's always tough to sell your bike. So.
Bradford, welcome back, brother. You have the floor.
I want to shout out the guy I met at the airport on my way home. I was wearing my Joe Hendry shirt, and he came up and said, hey, man, I like your shirt. And I was like, hey, man, thanks, Joe Hendry, right? It was a real in-depth conversation, but I told him about the podcast. Turns out homeboy was a huge wrestling fan. He was an airport employee. I don't know what he was doing, but I was like, yo, check out the podcast. I'll give you a shout-out. Buddy, I'm giving you a shout-out. He said he met Paul Heyman, who was a dick. He said he would not take a picture. He was a total asshole. He met a bunch of AEW stars. He said we're cool as shit. Darby Allin. I forget. He had a list. He showed me all the pictures. We became best friends in like 5 minutes. He said he went to an AEW show in Virginia. He said it was like 25% capacity. They moved everybody to the middle. He said it was weird. But anyway, he's a Joe Hendry fan, so we became best friends. Say his name, and he appears. I believe.
So, let's wrap this episode up. I just want to give the sentiment to everybody that Thomas is back, going back to school, very proud. Nice. Go get it. Don't go for that associates, Tom. That's where the money is. Don't screw around with those certifications. That's just like getting an underwater welding degree. Anyways, I just want to wrap everything up this week. It's been a fun one. Went by fast. Glad Shaggy could come on. A couple other guest stars coming on this football season. And Bradford's back. Phantom, time travel. Ed, need to work on that audio and all that other fun stuff that you got. Ask for some podcasting equipment for your birthday, will you? Have everybody buy you something. One of those glow rings that the girls use. Some kind of phone stand. You know, let's OnlyFans that area over there. Put some plastic feet on picks. The couch. Do something.
Feet pics.
Any feet pics coming soon. Later.